meditation this morning is recorded for us in the letter of St. James, chapter 5, beginning with the 13th verse. This is our second lesson for today, this 10th Sunday after Pentecost. Dear friends in Christ, in 2001, the Mayo Clinic issued a double-blind study on the power of prayer. They split up 799 coronary surgery patients into two groups. For one group, they assigned to each patient five people that prayed on their behalf at least once a day, while the other group did not have any extra intercessory prayers said on their behalf. After 26 months, the Mayo Clinic, the researchers, came to this conclusion. Intercessory prayer had no significant effect on the medical outcomes after hospitalization in a coronary care unit. Many other studies on intercessory prayer have come to the same conclusion. So why then do we even bother with prayer? Why does the Lord tell us to pray and to pray often? Is it simply because he wants to control us, or is it just some superstition that religious people have? Well, there are many problems with this study done by the Mayo Clinic. It doesn't take into effect, for example, it doesn't take into effect the faith of those patients. Doesn't take into effect the faith of those who are praying, the motivation behind their prayers. And perhaps most importantly, it only counts as a positive outcome, as an answer to a prayer. We Christians know and believe to be true the power of prayer. James says in verse 16 of our text, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. A more literal translation would be the plea of a righteous person brings about many things. Essentially saying the same thing, but prayer then is powerful. It brings about many things. Because of this, and because the Lord tells us to pray, we as Christians pray, and we pray often. But what is prayer? Many people have some misconceptions about prayer. First off, prayer is an act of worship. When we pray to the Lord, we are acknowledging that the Lord exists, that he hears our prayers, that he has promised to answer our prayers, and that he actually has the power to do something about our prayers and what we pray for. We wouldn't pray to a false god like Buddha or Allah because they don't exist. We wouldn't pray to a tree or a rock because they can't hear us. We don't pray to each other or to saints in heaven because they don't have the power to do anything about it. So when we pray to the Lord, we are worshiping him and acknowledging all those things about him. Prayer is an act of worship, but it is not a means of grace. That is, it's not a means by which the Lord gives us faith and strengthens our faith. It may contain the means of grace, but in and of itself, prayer will not strengthen our faith. It will not increase our knowledge of him. So prayer, then, is not to be taking the place of worship or the study of God and his word. And yet prayer has many benefits. In prayer, we honor God by showing that we trust in him and believe in his promises. It shows that we are his children who have a personal relationship with their father and are free to come to him and ask for anything as a child might ask his dear father. The Lord blesses us in our prayers as he uses them to bring about changes in our lives and in the lives of those who love him And so we pray to the Lord, and we pray to Him often, but mostly we pray to the Lord because He promises to hear and answer our prayers. But then, how can you be sure that your prayer will be answered? If that Mayo Clinic study is to believe, prayer has absolutely no effect, and it's pointless. Again, go back to what James says in verse 16. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Well, who is this righteous man whose prayer brings about many things? Well, to be righteous means to be perfect, to be holy, to be without sin. And that's none of us. Conceived and born in a sin, nothing but sin from an enemy of God, from nature. And even now as Christians, we're not perfect or holy. We sin against God day after day and constantly fail to obey His commands. There's only one person who is perfect, and that is Jesus. Not born into sin. Never once strayed from God's word. Always lived a perfect life, never failing to obey God's commands. So is it saying that only Jesus' prayers are powerful and effective? Well, no. Even though Jesus lived a perfect life, He lived that perfect life for us. His righteousness He credited to us when He died on the cross. So when God looks at us, He doesn't see our sins, but He sees the perfect life of His Son, and He declares us not guilty. It is Christ that makes us righteous. As Paul says in Romans 5, just as through the disobedience of the one man, that's Adam, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, Christ, the many will be made righteous. It's through faith that we receive everything that Christ has won for us and gives us, including this gift of righteousness. Again, Paul in Romans, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So then, who is a righteous person whose prayers are powerful and effective, whose prayers bring about many things? It's you. Your prayers are powerful and effective. Your prayers bring about many things. It's not as if one believer's prayers are better than the other. It's not as if a pastor or some other church leader or the President Schrader or whoever has more powerful and more effective prayers. No, we're all sinners who deserve God's wrath and punishment. We all have one mediator between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus. Only through Christ are we able to approach God at all. Only through Christ are we considered God's children. It is Christ who makes our prayers acceptable to God. And in this way, our prayers are powerful and effective because God promises to answer our prayers in Christ. And that is why we pray every prayer in the name of Jesus. That is through faith in Him. As Christians, then, your prayers are powerful and effective. That's how to guarantee that your prayers will be answered. All it is done through faith. And the Lord promises to answer your prayers. But why then does it seem as if the Lord doesn't answer your prayers? Why didn't you get that job you've been praying for? Why did that person that you love get sick and die, even though you prayed that the Lord would heal? Why didn't that person fall in love with you and you got married? Often it's not that God didn't answer your prayers, it's that God answered your prayers in a way that you had hoped that He would answer otherwise. Some people will say, well, perhaps you're praying for the wrong thing. But what exactly are the things that are right to pray for and the things that are wrong to pray for? Some people might think it's wrong to pray for the harm of others. And that is true for the most part, but not necessarily. There's a whole group of psalms we call the imprecatory psalms, in which David and other psalmists pray for the destruction and death of God's enemies. Now, we love all people. And we want all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So we pray again and again that all people would hear the gospel, believe, and join us in heaven forever. But when someone hardens their heart against the gospel, when someone sets themselves against God and seeks to harm God and harm God's people and seeks to prohibit the spread of the gospel, it is more beneficial for the world, for the spread of the gospel, for those people to be destroyed. So it's not necessarily wrong to pray for the harm of someone else. It's also not wrong to pray for earthly things. What do we do in the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer that Jesus taught us? In the fourth petition, we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." In that fourth petition, we are praying that God would give us physical things, earthly things that we need on a daily basis in order to live and to survive. But that's not to be the sole focus of our prayers, physical, earthly things. That is just one petition out of seven in the Lord's Prayer. One petition out of seven that deals with earthly or physical things. The other six deal with spiritual things. That is to be the focus of our prayers. What is truly important. Not earthly, not physical, not temporary, but spiritual, eternal. And when we focus on these things, God promises to bless us both physically and spiritually. As he says in Matthew 6, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." The Lord also has no interest in answering your prayers and granting your requests for things that only turn you away from him. Perhaps he didn't give you that job because he knew that it would lead you away from him, because you'd have to work on Sunday mornings. Maybe he didn't lead that young woman to fall in love with you so many years ago because he knew that inside that she was rotten and she would only lead you away from him and from worshiping him. The Lord isn't always going to give to you what you want when it leads you away from him, and he's also not going to give you what you want when you ask for something sinful. He's not going to change his mind on divorce because you want out of a relationship. He's not going to give you an opportunity to steal money from your friend. He's not going to convince that person to move in with you. He's not going to give you an opportunity to sin. When we pray for such things, we're not following God's word, and he will not answer us. And there are other times when we pray, that's not the content of our prayers that are bad, but maybe it's our motivation. Our attitude. We think of the Pharisee's prayer in Jesus' parable in Luke 18, who prayed, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." Now, it's certainly not wrong for thanking God and asking him to lead you to live a life that is pleasing to him. But we should most certainly realize that we are nothing but sinners who deserve God's wrath. That we can't approach God with freedom and confidence because of our own works, but because of what Christ has done. So we pray humbly as sinners, and yet in full confidence because of Christ Jesus. Or how many times have we prayed prayers that we know well? Maybe it's the Lord's Prayer. Maybe it's our common table prayers or any other prayer you know by heart. And we can pray that prayer and say the words, but we don't even give it a second thought about what we're saying. When we do so, we're just babbling like pagans, the Lord says, and he does not hear us. So then we strive to pray with the proper motivations and intentions, with our whole hearts and with our minds thinking about what we're praying, when we strive to pray according to God's will. And yet, there are many times, even when we do all of that, that it seems as if God still doesn't answer our prayers. So is that Mayo Clinic study then correct? When we pray, we're asking God to bless us in numerous ways, and we are essentially giving God suggestions about how he can bless us. But in the end, we're only simple human beings, and God is God. So we pray everything according to his will. That God, who knows all things, who works all things in conformity to his will, who knows what is best for us, we pray it according to his will, and ultimately we leave it in the hands of the him who knows all things and is able to do all things. And it is the Lord's will to bless us. The Lord is always concerned with what is best for us, not necessarily what is best for our physical earthly lives, but what is best for our spiritual eternal lives. For our lives and for the lives of others who love him. Think about the end of our gospel for today. Fathers, parents, aren't going to give something to their children that's going to be a harm to him. And how much more than our Father? God our Father is always going to answer our prayers in a way that's going to be for our spiritual benefit. That's going to be the good for us spiritually and for the spiritual good of those who love him. So he will always answer our prayers in a way that's positive. Sometimes his answer to our prayers is going to be no. Or maybe later. We're not always going to see how it's going to be a benefit. We may not see that benefit until many years later. Perhaps never on this side of heaven. That goes back to prayer being an act of worship. We pray and we acknowledge that God knows better than we do. We leave it up to his will. And we pray with sure hope and confidence that no matter how the Lord answers our prayers, with a yes or a no, or maybe later, it's always going to be for our good. And that's the main thing, or one of the main things, that that Mayo Clinic study doesn't take into account. Just because the Lord didn't save those people for whom they were praying doesn't mean he didn't answer their prayers. We know that the prayer of a believer is powerful and effective, that prayer brings about many things because the Lord promises to answer their prayers. And we believe that no matter how many studies try to claim otherwise. So then what do we as Christians do? We pray. We pray often. Continually. James mentions prayer 6 times in our text for today. It is something that is constantly on the mind of a Christian, constantly part of a Christian's life. When someone is sick, we pray to God on their behalf. We visit them. We encourage them. We pray with them. We then encourage them with the message of the sure hope of eternal life by Christ's resurrection from the dead. And if they think that their sickness or disease is brought about by their own sin, we comfort them with the message of the cross and assure them that Christ has forgiven them. And then we pray that God would use the gospel that we shared with them to bring them comfort and encouragement. We pray again and again, boldly and confidently. Like Elijah, like Abraham, in our first lesson, we pray persistently on the basis of God's mercy and love. We know that He hears our prayers, promises to answer them, and actually has the power to do so. And we know that no matter what we pray, He will always answer our prayers in a way that benefits us for eternity. Now, it doesn't matter what some study says. The Lord has promised to answer our prayers and to answer our prayers in a way that benefits us, and that then is a guarantee. So we pray boldly and confidently, persistently and continually, knowing that the Lord loves us and cares for us. And He always promises to answer our prayers in a way that's a blessing to us eternally. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.